The fourth Sunday in Advent, journeying, arriving. If Advent is a journey, then the aim of any journey, no matter how long, or testing, or tortuous, is to arrive. Here we have to keep in view two things simultaneously, for we arrive at the end of our journey at the Bethlehem stable and the child in the arms of Mary. But living in the light of that encounter and revelation of God, we are also pressing on to the arrival point, which is at the end of time, that is to say, the second coming of Christ. That coming will no longer be shrouded in obscurity, but will be proclaimed and enacted on a cosmic scale. We press on, therefore, into the known and into the unknown. The end of our journeying in kneeling with the shepherds and the magi becomes the beginning of our quest into eternity and the divinization of man. The first Advent closes with two journeys. The first is the short scramble down the angel-lit hillside of the Bethlehem shepherds. This is the instant knowing of the Christ by extraordinary revelation. The second is the longer trek of the wise men who, applying their knowledge and scientific skill, have set out long before on a starlit quest for the new king whose reign will change everything. Both will arrive at the key moment of salvation history by very different routes and timetables, but called by the same God and with complementary purposes. In the coming of the shepherds, we see the fulfilment of the promise of God to make the new shepherd king of Israel, the heir of David's line, a sign of the ministry of the Christ child and his chosen people, the ecclesia of God, the church. In the coming of the Magi, we walk the long road home via intellectual inquiry, studied and detail. We come armed with gifts that speak of this unparalleled gift of God. Gold for the king, frankincense for the great high priest of our faith, and myrrh for his burial, which will precede the glorious transformation of his body into that glorious mystery of his risen life. These latter journeys are, of course, merely the culmination of the wanderings of the people of God. In our eternal solidarity with the people of God, we too have experienced the expulsion from paradise, and yet put Eden on the luggage labels of our return journey. We have ridden high on the waters of the judgment flood in the ark of salvation. We have wandered with Abraham in his nomadic peregrinations and heard the promise under the starlit desert sky. With him we have walked out of burning cities of bankrupt and perverse civilizations. With Joseph we have dwelt comfortably in Egypt. With Moses we will have been set free from the bondage to the pagan gods and, saved by the blood of the Lamb, set out for the land of promise. With him we will have dwelt long in the wilderness, gathering strength for the assault and conquest. With the prophets we will have mused and been bemused by the ceaseless infidelity and ingratitude of those to whom God has given so much, and been brought up painfully short by the recognition of our part in this routine and tedious betrayal. And so the circling years come round to the moment of salvation. Will we go to the manger with the shepherds, all heart and wonder and excitement? Will we go to the house of Joseph and Mary with the Magi, legs weary with the journey, but hearts aflame with ardour for the newborn king and the gifts born long and eloquent of the future? Will we set out anew therefrom to proclaim the Messiah's birth? Will we join St. Paul in the universal mission of the universal church? Will we be the ecclesia, the called of God to our own time and our own generation? These are the big questions that lay at the heart of the Advent journey. We are not reflecting on this great season out of a sense of nostalgia, but as a reminder of our part to be played out with our lives as sons and daughters of Adam, and as the next chapter in the history of the faith, an appendix to the Acts of the Apostles. We do not revisit the past as a sentimental journey, but as part of our history and part of our future. Pilgrims of Christ on the heaven-bound road, wanderers for whom here is no abiding city, seekers who have found the pearl of great price and are giving our all to its costly purchase. For me, this is captured most beautifully in T.S. Eliot's one of his four quartets called East Coker, and he writes this at the end of it. Home is where one starts from. As we grow older, the world becomes stranger, the pattern more complicated of dead and living. Not the intense moment, isolated with no before and after, but a lifetime burning in every moment. And not the lifetime of one man only, but of old stones that cannot be deciphered. There is a time for the evening under starlight, a time for the evening under lamplight, the evening with the photograph album. Love is most nearly itself when here and now cease to matter. Old men ought to be explorers. Here or there does not matter. We must be still and still moving into another intensity for a further union, a deeper communion. Through the dark cold and the empty desolation, the wave cry, the wind cry, the vast waters of the petrel and the porpoise. In my end is my beginning. Amen.